You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
We are going to be discussing three topics, but I want to start off with the topic of why the church membership is falling below the majority of people for the very first time ever. Years ago, many people were attending church, and it was a natural thing to do because our society was accepting of the moral thread that was being preached from the pulpit. What I have seen personally in the decline of membership and in churches is the way our society is being politicized, both by politicians and non-politicians, to accept the Marxist way of life. And in the Marxist way of life, there is very little morality. There's very little God-centered families. In fact, the Marxist type of life is destroying families. They are destroying the thread that keeps our very natures alive and strong and being able to fight off the evil things that hit us day by day. And I'm looking at a couple of different articles, and cultural Christianity is declining rapidly. Again, it's the Marxist thread. It is attacking everything that's moral. There are many movements going on that want to destroy the family, and in fact, it destroys the moral thread also. They're building a different generation. We are a generation of people that want to believe anything is okay. I can do anything I want. Nobody can tell me yay or nay. Migration from rural areas and small towns to our cities is also seems to be one of the things that is removing people from churches, because in your outer areas of large cities are where families really tend to come together and tend to accept what the family wants to do and the family way of life. Slow responses to the change as change accelerates all around us. We are not fighting hard enough as a group of people. We are not making our voices loud enough to the people that are trying to destroy the family and insert a Marxist society. Those are just a few things I brought up for the ladies to help discuss and agree or disagree on why we are seeing a decline in church membership. What do you think, ladies? Do you see a decline?
No, there absolutely is a decline. The Gallup did a poll on this recently, and the Gallup poll shows church membership at about 46% now. So under that magic 50% number, which is about actually 20 points less than it was at the turn of the century. So year by year, it goes down. And we have about 66% of the traditionalists, the adults born before 1946, that do still belong to organized churches and religions. And then we have 58% of baby boomers, and then 50% in Generation X, and only 36% in millennials. So as we age out the people that are, you know, the strong church-going members, we end up with the younger generation who has not affiliated with any particular religion, which is the main reason, according to Gallup, that church membership is falling, because they have not affiliated with one particular religion. It's not that they don't believe in God. It's not that they maybe don't, you know, think in their head that they are religious, but it's that they are not a member of a church. And we in this country are literally closing thousands of churches every single year. So, you know, the thing that I want to kind of discuss with both of you is, what does that mean to us? You know, that what does that mean to our country? And my concern is that when you don't have a strong family base, and you don't have a strong church going base or religious and faith base in your family, it's much easier for this country to fall apart and be conquered. Because don't forget, divide and conquer is really the only way that America can be taken down. If America is a country with strong moral values, strong godliness, and strong families, nobody can harm us. But when we lose that and we fracture ourselves from within, we are seeing the results of that right now with the socialist movement and the divisiveness by calling us racists and xenophobes and homophobes. And, you know, we're taking a percentage of the population that's probably 2% in the transgender, binary, homosexual, and we are making them have more power over the 98% of the rest of the people. These are all ways to fracture our connections to other people in our society. So even though all of these people have been living in harmony, all of a sudden we're all racist, and all of a sudden we're all homophobic. You know, these are just ways to get us to separate, because we can be manipulated and conquered better. Tracy, what's your take on that?
So people's not going to church because they don't want to make the time to go fellowship in church, and they don't want to take the time to spend it in prayer. And we're failing as church goers that we don't do more things to engage the people that's coming, or make it appealing for people to want to come. Or, you know, I think our society is yearning for something in their heart. When you walk around with an empty spirit, when, I mean, you know, you're just empty, you have a soul and you have a spirit. And when you walk around without that spirit being in connected with the Holy Spirit, you are searching for it. Your spirit wants to be nurtured, and a relationship with God needs to be nurtured, and you need to go to church. And people don't want to take the time to do it. They don't want to stop. They don't want to get ready. They don't want to go, you know, well, I work this many hours a week and this is my day off. And I totally get it. I am preaching to the choir right here. It's a sacrifice, and God knows it's a sacrifice. And so maybe I'll go, but I don't do things like I should, because there's a lot of things that my husband and I could help to engage the younger people, or say, you know, once a month, the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, let's go eat. You know, we've been married 30 years. Let's go out and eat, and let's talk about what it is to raise kids in this society and how hard it is to make a marriage work. People need to be contributing more and trying to nourish that church-going relationship and that nourishment to God. Linda, you and Ron could have, you know, a young adult dinner at your house. And, you know, there's so many things that we can contribute to people because of our life experiences and to help them. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And people's not taking the time to go to church. They're not taking their kids to church. So our morality is declining. Our American, our values, it's declining. We accept things that we used to not accept. And we tolerate things we should not tolerate. And if I just Google what's good morality, what's its purpose, they say there's five purposes for good morality. And the first one is to keep a society from falling apart. Now, what's going on right now? You're just saying the church attendance is low, which correlates and parallels with a low morality. And that means our society is getting weaker. I mean, that's number one. And if you just Google that, I can, you know, you can see it, because it's the proof's in the pudding. And it's talking about to have compassion. You know, another reason is to have compassion for human suffering. We need to have compassion for human suffering. we need to have compassion for our neighbor that's got diagnosed for with cancer and they're doing chemo treatments and, you know, take them a casserole. We need to have more compassion. It says to promote human flourishing. You know, when you have good morality, you want to promote the good of the people. And we need to be doing that as well. And the last couple of things, to resolve conflict of interest in a just and orderly way, and to assign praise, blame, reward, punishment, and guilt. That's the purpose of good morality. And we can sit here and say, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. But on Sunday morning, get up and get to church and to be engaging in when you go to church. And I guarantee you, it's just a small difference, but it can make a huge difference in somebody's life if you take the time.
Well, the scriptures talk about not forsaking yourselves for the assembly together, for each other. We don't just go to church for our own personal growth. We go to encourage others. One of the things I'm looking at right now is churches have stopped growing because of hospitality. And I think you're right, Tracy, we have lost the ability to welcome people. Many times after a church service, people will get together and they'll have a meal and they'll talk and they'll visit and they'll encourage one another. But what has our current society told us to do right now? Separate yourselves, stay home, watch a virtual church service, social distance from everybody. And what it is doing, it is causing a separation between the people that really want to serve and the people that really need to be served. And when you're not hospitable, you're not welcoming others into your life, but also into the life of others and into a relationship that we have with Christ, because that's what he uses. He uses us in other people's lives to bring them from a bad situation into a better situation or encourage them when they are struggling. And we've lost that as a group of people. We have become so comfortable in being separated from everybody that we have forgotten that our people out there that are suffering, because we have been told to separate. And that's one of the things that I so appreciated about our church. We came and started coming together as a body last year, probably around October, because our pastor saw that so many people in our church were struggling, even the ones that were strong Christians, the one that encouraged the other person. And so what they did, they made allowances for those people that really were uncomfortable being with others that didn't wear a mask or didn't social distance. So we had areas where people could come together, social distance, wear their mask, but still be together and still talk with one another. As well as an area, if you didn't feel like you needed to wear a mask, that you could come in and you could see those smiling faces. You could engage in other people's lives. That's been a huge, huge detriment, I believe, to our church families and to people that want to go to church to find the truth that have not been able to.
I think that this has been happening for certainly longer than the COVID situation, but that really aggravated everything because people couldn't go to church because the state wouldn't allow them to do so. So, and you know, to the point that one of you made about the, I think you, Becky, about the watching the services on television, in my mind, that's better than nothing, but not a whole lot better than nothing, because you don't get the feeling for the other members of your church, and you don't know what is going on in other people's lives. And the whole point of church being social and that we care about others. I mean, back not so long ago, it was the church who was taking care of people in need. It was the church who was taking care of maybe unwed mothers or homeless people. And they have separated the church and the state so much to the point that, I mean, Tracy, you were telling us a story about the school in Oklahoma where you live that didn't even want them to be able to to have an hour a week or whatever of some sort of, you know, religious talk. And I mean, this is how far away we've gone from it. And I do think that it's a push towards socialism, because if you can take that out of society, then, you know, it just makes us that much easier to control. And I think that we have to do exactly what you said, Tracy, in that we have to become not less involved, but more involved, and pull people into, you know, that safety net and that place where there are people that care, because everybody is so separate anymore and nobody is doing the socializing. I mean, I don't go out so much to eat with other people after church, but Ron and I would go out, and, you know, that gives us time. We can just discuss maybe, you know, what was said in church. Our Catholic church in our town is pretty sad in the way, even though it's a beautiful building and wonderful priests, but they have two services on Sunday, one that's totally done in Spanish and one that's done in English. And that's it. When I was growing up, I mean, there were service after service after service all the way through about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, starting at 7 in the morning. So you can see the lessening. But I think it's so important in these times that we take another look at this and see if we can engage some of these generations, you know, the Gen Z, Gen X, millennials, to, you know, get reinvolved in going to church.
Well, we just hate to give up our time. I think it goes back to time. We're a self-indulgent people anymore. We want gratification. We're selfish. You know, I don't want to give up my Sunday and spend 2 hours in church. I don't want to do it, you know, and I'm literally talking about myself, because I work all the time and I'm always going, always working, and I have to stop because time is my most precious commodity anymore. And I have to, you know, be wise about what I do. And one of the best things that keeps me on track and keeps me, my spirit at peace, is devoting that time to God. And I'm thinking, and I'm not for sure, but somewhere in the Bible, it even says something, and I'm going to have to research this, like, if you give your time to the Lord, he will double your time back. And I need to find that. I have heard that, and I want to find that scripture that kind of correlates with that. But it's just time, and we don't want to give it up. I mean, we just don't. We're selfish, and we want to do what we want to do. And if you want to, you know, the fellowship is important, though, to be with other members, because it does strengthens you as a group. The church is considered a body in the eyes of God. And so, you know, it's important that if you're in a church that you go, because others miss you when you're not there, and they like to see you there. And they, you know, it just encourages everyone when we're at our meetings and when we gather. But we are selfish, and we do not like to lose our time. We're like, oh, well, I can be as close to God out in the, you know, if you're going to go hiking or biking that day, you know. But if you just take some time for God, he will bless you.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Welcome back to Ladies of Liberty, and I'd like to introduce our Ladies of Liberty for today. Today, we have Tracy Halpain. Tracy is businesswoman extraordinaire, and she runs several businesses up in Oklahoma. She is a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and just an exceptional lady. And we have Becky Stokes with us today. And Becky is another exceptional lady. This is the lady that is the organizer extraordinaire. She ran the Trump train in Texas, and she also has been a homemaker for, Becky, is it over 40 years?
49.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, I can't even imagine.
So I'm old.
And I'm Linda Martinelli. I am a business owner as well. And I am also the host with my husband, Dr. Ron Martinelli, of Talking While Married, right here on America Out Loud, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please join us there when you have a moment. Okay, so I want to talk about this situation that occurred in New York City with the Filipino woman, age 65, who was beaten and kicked by a man just because she was Asian. And this has been happening more and more. But what really bothers me, oh gosh, there's so many things that bother me about this. But what really bothers me about this is, first of all, nobody that saw that event, and believe me, you're in the heart of New York City, lots and lots of people are around, nobody called 911. And I just wonder what is happening to our souls that we can stand there and do nothing. Secondly, there was a security guard watching right, it was right in front of him. So it's on the sidewalk. He's in the building behind two glass doors. The glass doors are open. He's got a perfect view. I mean, steps from his feet of this woman being kicked, her pelvis being broken. She's kicked in the head by this man, and he stood there and did nothing. He is a security guard. And then he closed those two glass doors. I was in shock. And the final thing really is absolutely one of the biggest things is this person who committed this horrible attack on this innocent woman had been out of prison for murdering his own mother. And my question is, why was he out of prison? He should never have been out of prison. He should never be out in order to harm somebody else. And this is a thing that's been happening all over our country, in prison after prison after prison, in city after city, where they are letting people out, not serving their sentences, whether they want to use COVID as an excuse, which they did so many times, or whether they just want to use social justice as an excuse, and they let these people out of prison to victimize some other innocent person.
Well, I'm going to play the race card. If that was a Caucasian individual that was in prison for murdering his mother, he would still be in prison. You look at the individual that caused this crime, and he is a minority. He's African American. And I believe that we have become so desensitized to the crime as opposed to the person. So it depending on your color or your race, I think crimes are now adjusted. Look at the crime that is in the courts right now, where the policeman put his knee on the criminal's shoulder, now that we're seeing, instead of his neck. Had that been a white individual, I believe this would have been totally taken through the media in a different way. This crime that this man committed against this woman is horrendous. And the fact that the security guard stood there and watched this happen shows where our society is. And if you look at the picture, and I can't tell for sure if the security guard what race they are, but it looks to me that he is a minority and therefore didn't get involved and just let the other man commit the crime. Now, I'm not a racist person and I don't generally look at color, but if you look at how our society and what our society is headed up against, I believe that is part and parcel of the problem. It is a hate crime. It is definitely not looked upon as evil when a specific kind of nationality is being targeted or doing the targeting. And I'm sorry, but that's where we're at right now. And that's how I see it. What do you ladies think? Am I all totally wrong in this?
No, this goes back to what we was talking about a while ago, is our decline in morals. I mean, you have got to have something in the pit of your gut, something of fire in you when you see somebody getting their head kicked, that you go out there and you try to stop it. You pick up a stick of wood, you pick up something, and you knock him right across the head and get him off that poor woman. And it's a decline in our moral. We are desensitized. We have seen these crimes happen. We've been told to not social, you know, be interactive. And so we're desensitized. Our heart does not have that compassion like we should, that should be, you know, morally sound. That's not morally sound at all. When you sit there and watch out a window and watch a woman get kicked to death and then you shut the door, there's something wrong with you when you do that. What you should be doing is whatever it takes. If you pick up a rock and you throw that rock right there at his head, and it doesn't matter, you get him off that woman. And you got to have that in your gut and you got to have that in your spirit. And when you work on a society and you try to take the values away and the morality away, it takes that spirit inside of you away, where your fighting spirit is not there. And you should have a fighting spirit for other people, especially if they're getting kicked in the head and beat to death in the middle of the road. That is terrible, terrible. I don't care what color you are. We all bleed red. And we are all God's children, and that should have never happened, but we are becoming desensitized society, and that more of that will become. I mean, it's just like a, you know, a mother that, it just makes me sick. They put their newborn baby in a trash can and they leave it. I mean, that is just, it's cruel, and it's no heart, no compassion in you whatsoever when you do things like that. And that is what we've seen when this happened. This just, nobody had the heart to go get him off of her.
And I feel like we're seeing this more and more in so many places in so many different ways. And, you know, when you said that about the baby, Tracy, my thought went to the cartel that was raping the 17-year-old mother trying to bring her 6-month-old baby over the border, and they broke her leg, and then they took the baby and threw the baby in the river. And luckily, a Texas Ranger swam out and got the baby and rescued the baby. But I mean, the horrendous things that people are doing to one another is bad enough. But when these people are then arrested, as this man had been, for murdering his mother, and then he is out to re-victimize somebody else, whoever let that man out of prison is as guilty as he is, in my opinion, because this woman would never have been assaulted this way had they kept him behind bars where he belongs. If you murder somebody, there has to be a price to pay for that. And what we are doing all over this country is letting our criminals out of prisons on some sick and twisted social justice warrior thinking that we can fix people in some way, that it doesn't do them any good to stay in prison. It doesn't do the rest of us any good to let them out. And here's a perfect evidence. That video is so disturbing to me that I just want to cry when I see it. I can feel every inch of what he is doing to that woman. And I'm so angry over the people who stood there and watched. The way that she was found was by police happening by because nobody called 911. And out of all of those people in New York watching that event take place, nobody did anything. And I'm horrified. And that security guard is the worst because, as you could see in the video, he just watched impassively and then just closed the door as though nothing was happening. And I just feel so much anger and rage toward the inhumanity of the way that another human being was, you know, ignored in such a time of need. And I think it does go with what we were talking about, that we are losing our values, our morals, our religion, and it is how America will fall. That video, to me, says all I need to know about what's happening in America.
There's no such thing anymore as the Good Samaritan. We look the other way, because what happens is if you do try to intervene and you do try to stop someone, then you oftentimes become the subject and not the victim. The victim is lying there and they're broken and they're injured, and someone comes over to help that person and attacks the person that is attacking her, then you are guilty of it. They don't look at you as helping the individual that's being attacked. They look at you as attacking someone and disregard the crime that was committed. So people are afraid to get involved anymore for fear, in my opinion, that they will be then the criminal and not someone that is actually thanked for helping someone stop another crime. You see it all the time in shootings. If someone steps out and has a gun and stops the person from killing other people, that person should be a hero. But oftentimes they want to use that particular incident for new gun laws, that we shouldn't have guns, when in fact, the person that stopped the shooting stopped a bigger crime. And the whole narrative is backwards. We don't look at people anymore and encourage them to call 911 or to be the person that is going to go to the police department and say, look, I witnessed this and I can validate who did it, because of fear.
Yeah.
They don't want us to do that.
But Becky, they in New York, they have very restrictive gun laws.
Absolutely.
Yet they have almost 300% increase in gun crimes because all the bad guys have the guns. So if somebody in that crowd had been carrying a concealed weapon, they could have stopped this attack. And that, and our government is trying to take our Second Amendment rights. And Tracy, I know that you are extremely, you know, familiar with weapons and firing guns and hunting and all those types of things. And I got to tell you, they're not taking my weapon, and I'm going to be there with my concealed carry if I would see something like this around where I live.
Yeah, that's, you know, they're taking the guns away from the good guys, and all the bad guys have the guns, and that it's the shift of power, and that's not right. And this is the obvious reason in the shift of power. It says this woman was walking to church even when this guy started assaulting her. And of course, you know, of course, it's the media is going to put it, you know, this surge of violence is because of, you know, Trump's, what did he call that? He called it the Chinese virus, you know. So now the partial blame's back on Trump again. The man can't get a break, but it's terrible. It's awful. It makes me sick at my stomach, like you, Linda. It's disgusting. And for people just to watch, to me, they're as guilty as the guy putting his leg and kicking her in the stomach. They're just as guilty to me. And I hope they lost their jobs. And I think they did lose their jobs, but they should be fired. Whatever union they belong to or whatever association, they should have kicked them out for not stepping in. And it is, don't take the guns away from the good people, because the good people is going to protect the weak, and the good people is going to protect the poor and the oppressed and the, you know, those that can't take care of themselves. That's themselves. That's what the good people's going to do. But the bad people, they don't care. They're going to just, they're out to, you know, they're out for themselves. So.
Well, what criminal do you know is going to abide by gun laws? None of them. And and I agree with you, for them to take away the ability to protect ourselves or the ability to protect the person next to you that is being attacked is ridiculous. They're not going to come after mine either. I have a carry license and I am not afraid to use my gun if I was threatened. It is our right. It is our Second Amendment right. And we have got to fight tooth and nail, not to just protect ourselves and our families, but there again, protect your neighbor, protect the person next to you, and let the person know that you are there for them. And then only when we fight back and we show that we are strong and that we are not going to be intimidated into weakness, is any of this going to be stopped?
No, I think it's going to get worse. I do. Yeah.
And part of the problem in New York, just as an aside, is, you know, when we had the Dinkins in New York was, it went to hell in a handbasket. And then when Giuliani came in and took over, he fixed it in just a very, very rapid time. I mean, in 30 days of him taking over, things had changed. And it became a great place to go and a great place to visit. And the crime rate was down and the murder rate was down. And they were doing broken windows policing. And it was, I mean, it was absolutely wonderful for the people who live there. And now where we have Cuomo and de Blasio, I mean, it's gone back to hell in a handbasket there. And that, and the people are hating it. And that's why you have all of these problems. It's not because of anything else other than the people that are running that city are allowing this to happen. And I'm just heartbroken for that woman and I'm actually heartbroken for everybody who stood there and watched and did nothing, because to me, they have a piece of their heart that is missing. I just think that we need to really rethink, you know, where we're going in this country.
Listen to the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together, we need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I want to talk about a story that is also disturbing, but I think that there's a lesson to be learned. I had read an article in Elle magazine, the UK version, about Sarah Everard that was murdered in London a few weeks back. She was 33 years old. She had left a friend's house to walk home at 9 p.m. Her walk was about a 50-minute walk, and she did everything right. She called her boyfriend on the way home, and London has lots and lots of CCTV cameras everywhere. So they, you know, have cameras on light poles in all kinds of places. She was wearing a bright colors. She walked on main roads. She did everything that you should do. And yet she was missing. She never made it home. And her body was found some days later. And as it turns out, it was an off-duty policeman that murdered her. So the reason I want to talk about this story is because what the author in this article is telling women is, you see, she did everything right. She did everything she should have done. And women should not have to protect themselves. It is the men's fault. It's the men that are rapists and the men that are perverts and all of these things. That is what she is saying in her article. And it really rubbed me the wrong way, because I always grew up to be accountable for myself, to make sure not only that I'm doing the right things, but that I'm aware of my surroundings. And as I grew up and got older, I also got myself a carry license so that I could protect myself in a place that, you know, I needed protecting. I might have pepper spray. I might have something else with me, but I'm always going to have something to protect myself. That being said, I do understand that there are circumstances that happen that we can't protect ourselves. But I'm just talking about this person's take on this woman's murder and saying that women should not have to protect themselves. And I absolutely disagree with that. And I believe that we should have to protect ourselves, unfortunately so, but we really need to do things that help us protect ourselves. We can take some sort of self-defense classes. My husband used to teach self-defense classes for women, and the classes were always full. It's a great thing to know how to protect yourself against somebody, how to go for the nose, eyes, throat, those types of things. It is our responsibility to protect ourselves. And I don't like that women are telling other women that you shouldn't have to do that, because it just puts us in more danger. What do you guys think?
I think that's silly. I think we need to be protecting ourselves. It's just, you know, you have a little girl and she's just got to learn. I mean, yes, God made us softer, but you've got to be aware of your surroundings, like you said, and be cautious and have some good old common horse sense and common sense and those classes that Ron did. That's excellent. I would like to take a class like that, because there's times I want to go walking. And when I walk, I mean, you know, down the road, like not a highway, not a street, but we live in rural in the country. So I'd like to go down the dirt road more and walk. And then it is on my mind, like, gosh, what if I'm attacked, you know? So I need to know those rules of self-defense. And we can't just say, because a man's not going to do it. I mean, I'm sorry, but a girl's got to learn how to protect herself.
Well, sure, you can't have a man with you all the time. And where you live, on the rural roads, I mean, you can certainly take a gun with you. If I were going to walk at night, that's absolutely what I would do. But in so many places, you have oppressive gun laws in so many cities in the United States and also in London, where you can't carry a gun. You have to do something to protect yourself. I agree that this woman did everything right that she could have done, but the premise of us not having to take responsibility to protect ourselves is going to cause more women to be hurt than not. And there are so many stories of women who have protected themselves or others by using either some sort of self-defense method or a firearm or mace or whatever it is that they have. Now you can buy the little tasers, right? You can buy just at the store, you can buy tasers. You can give yourself those few extra seconds to get away. And one more thing about this story, about this policeman in London who committed this murder. This is another story that bothers me because he had been under discipline from his department for exposing himself to women just in the weeks before this happened. So again, I have to want to understand why he's out on the street again. Why isn't he home with an ankle monitor or something? I mean, we continue to let these people who commit crimes out to victimize somebody else. And that's just not right.
Well, I have a little bit of a problem with this whole narrative. And I'm going to bring up a controversial subject, but wouldn't the women on the other side who are always yelling about sexist people and how women need to be treated the same way and they need to take responsibility. This whole story flies in the face of it being very different. Being a woman is going to give us in some ways a disadvantage. Like you said, Tracy, we are a softer generation. We are not as strong as men. And so to fight them off and to be diligent about our safety can sometimes be very, very difficult. What about the widow that doesn't have the man standing next to her in this article that says she shouldn't have to protect herself? What about the woman who is young and hasn't gotten married yet and doesn't have the man standing next to her or at her arm protecting her? We as individuals, we need to be ready. We need to be vigilant because we live in a very different world right now. We live in a world where so many things are accepted. And like you said, we don't even look at the police officer anymore as being the criminal. We don't know sometimes who is behind that badge. And we don't know who is protecting that person behind that badge. And you are absolutely right, Linda. That man ought to be in jail. That man ought to have a leg monitor on. That man ought to be summoned to his house and not allowed to be out of his house. He needs to be confined until the investigation is coming to an end and we find out maybe he's not innocent, but that doesn't look the way it is right now. And this poor woman, yes, she did very good things about trying to do the right thing. But let me tell you, you can do all the right things. And if the evil is going to come, it's going to come. And I don't care what you do or say, the evil is going to come at you if that's the intent of the person on the other side. So maybe as women, we do arm ourselves. We do get a carry license. We do take some martial arts tips and figure out how to fight back. And I have done those kinds of things. And I make sure that when I go into an area that I'm not sure about, I try not to do that. But believe me, if someone comes at me, they're going to be sorry.
You know, I think what I would have done is I would not have walked alone at that hour, and she's probably done it many times. But I think that for me, I would have had somebody escort me home, or, you know, I don't know what her options were because I've never been to London. But it's just women need to have a common sense about them and about the dangers that are out there. And yes, you can do all the right things like she did, walk in a well-lighted area, wear bright colors, all of those things. But I don't think that this so much would have happened if she had had somebody with her, or obviously if she had been armed and she knew how to use a weapon, but that's not an option in London. So I think that, you know, what could she have done, or what could any of us do to protect ourselves? So I think that, you know, being with a friend, if you can, if you have to walk somewhere at night, not being alone is a good thing because there's some safety in numbers. But also, you know, there, like I say, there are things like mace, there are things like tasers that you can buy. There are obviously the concealed carry, and learn, if you get one, learn how to use that gun so that you know what to do, so it's not taken away from you and used against you. All of those things, you know, this woman was at a true disadvantage if a police officer identified himself as such, and we don't know if he did or not. He was not in uniform. He was off duty. He was actually off duty pending this investigation of these other things that happened. So I want to not give women the message that somebody else should be protecting us. We need to do it ourselves.
No, I think it all goes back, and I agree, it goes back to listening to your gut. Because, I mean, if she was walking in, she was probably paying attention, you know, to her surroundings. If she was made the decision to walk in a well-lit area. But women, you know, us being women, we are, you know, if a man was to approach her or something, maybe she didn't listen to her gut like she should, because we do need to listen to our gut, because as women, we're kind of like, oh, he won't hurt me. You know what I mean? Or we're more forgiving, or we're more accepting of things, or, and so, you know, you gotta kind of turn that off, especially if you're walking alone in the dark, and listen to your gut, because she might've had a creepy feeling about the guy. And then, like you said, have your mace or have your taser or have, you know, that's about their only options in London that they could have. But we can't just say, well, you know, I'm just gonna leave it up to a man. No, we've got to teach our girls to pay attention, be prepared, listen to your gut, and, you know, be prepared to fight if you have to.
Well, even going and getting gas can be dangerous. I mean, I have started, and I've told my girls to do the same thing. When you get out of the car to get gas, you make sure that the passenger side is locked and the doors in the back are locked, because I have seen videos of where people are sneaking into the other side of your car. Number one, stealing your purse or wallet. Number two, hiding in the back seat so that when you take off, there again, you are vulnerable. So I think there's just a lot of different things that we need to be vigilant about as women, and active, proactive about how we are aware of our surroundings and not putting ourselves in a situation where it could be dangerous. And you know what? She could have walked this area many, many times, and this police officer could have been stalking her and watching her to see when the best time would be if this attack was done by him. And people do that all the time. So we have to be careful. I don't walk out late at night. I don't go out at late at night without my husband or a friend. And so I think we need to adapt into our lives some really safety measures that do not put us in vulnerable situations. But you know, the women's movement is saying we are strong, we are women, we can do whatever we want, and we shouldn't be afraid. Well, I think they are doing a disservice to young girls, thinking that, you know, we can grab the the bull by the horns and go out there and we're going to be just fine. And that's not necessarily true.
Well, I think that luckily this person was caught relatively quickly due to all of the cameras that they have in London. So they did see him on the camera. But, you know, one thing that we always taught when we were teaching classes, my husband and I do own some firearm schools. So we teach people to use firearms in a safe manner and to be prepared to defend themselves or others. But one thing that we teach all people is to be totally aware of your surroundings. So rather than just looking straight ahead when you're walking, I turn, I look behind me, I look left and right. I want to see if anybody's, you know, coming up on me, or do I need to change sides of the street, or, you know, you just need to be aware. And the advice that you gave about the vehicle at the gas station is excellent. That's absolutely true. That happens. It happens at stores at night. You know, you can go to a store like a Walmart at night, park in a dark lot. And, you know, you just have to really be aware of your surroundings. And that's going to be half the battle right there. And then, you know, there are classes that you can take to learn how to defend yourself and give yourself a fighting chance. And if you're in a place where they have concealed carry permits, then you know, you might look at doing that. But women need to be responsible to help themselves to stay safe.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.